Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Hey, good day, America. We see Doge at work in our federal government, hopefully taking America back to her constitutional roots. We need that. We have $37 trillion almost in federal debt, and we're on a highway speeding towards a cliff with no road underneath. I mean, this is like Wile E. Coyote going off the road. And we've been wasting trillions of dollars funding all sorts of nonsense. Do we really want to fund the Taliban's production of heroin? Now, I'm not making this up. That's literally, it sounds crazy, right? Let me read from the White House. They put this out. Some of the things that we've been wasting money on and abusing taxpayer dollars with. It's whitehouse.gov fact sheets. At USAID, waste and abuse runs deep. That's the title of this. $1.5 million to advance diversity, equity, and inclusion in Serbia's workplaces and business communities. Serbia. $70,000 for production of a DEI musical in Ireland. $2.5 million for electric vehicles for Vietnam, not for America. $47,000 for a transgender opera. What is a transgender opera in Colombia? $32,000 for a transgender comic book in Peru. $2 million for sex changes and LGBT activism in Guatemala. $6 million to fund tourism in Egypt. Hundreds of thousands of dollars for a nonprofit linked to designated terrorist groups, even after an inspector general launched an investigation. Millions to the Eco Health Alliance, which was involved in research at the Wuhan lab. Hundreds of thousands of meals that went to Al-Qaeda affiliated fighters in Syria. We're feeding Al-Qaeda affiliated fighters in Syria. It's unbelievable. Funding to print personalized contraceptive birth control devices in developing countries. Personalized. I don't even know what that means, but that's what the White House press release says. Hundreds of millions of dollars to fund irrigation canals, farming equipment, and even fertilizer used to support the unprecedented poppy cultivation and heroin production in Afghanistan, benefiting the Taliban. So you got that right. I did say that. It says that we are funding the Taliban's production of heroin. It's bad at every level, and that was found in USAID. Now, even wiping all of that out, you know, you add it all up, that's not going to solve our debt problem, but it's a start. Much of that waste and fraud, when you add it all together, can be totaling trillions of dollars. Not just the stuff like in Guatemala and the LGBTQ plus promotion and all that, but cutting some really what we might have grown to depend on, federal agencies and government programs and so forth. Change is hard, and it's going to have to happen because we cannot continue with $37 trillion in debt. We talk about that all the time on Pirate Money Radio. We are on a debt cliff, and there's no road, and we're speeding so fast. We've got to turn this around now. I have good news. The feds are not supposed to be in all these businesses. Now, I know it's hard. You may love the program that you're benefiting from. You may really appreciate it, but we're not supposed to be in that business according to the Constitution. I've got the Constitution right here. We're the United States. United States. That means a grouping of states that are united together for common purposes. The states are supposed to take the main role. The federal government's primary role, as you read this book, is to ensure that all states have a Republican form of government. We don't guarantee a democracy. We elect our Republican elected officials through democratic means. Yes, we take popular votes, but it's supposed to be representative government because the mob rule is a bad idea, and the Constitution says that. So guarantee every state has a Republican form of government, not a pure democracy, and they're supposed to protect us against invasion and domestic violence. You know, something that the Biden administration didn't seem to be willing to do. We'd have domestic violence and the, you know, riots and so forth. And we'd have invasion, you know, crossing the southern border, for example. They weren't protecting us. But I'll read from Article 4, Section 4, the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a Republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion and on application of the legislature or of the executive when the legislature cannot be convened against domestic violence. All right, this is reflected in the preamble. The preamble of this Constitution: we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for its common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. So it's we the people, through the states, created the federal government. The states preexisted our federal government. And we don't treat them that way. Too often, the media, too often the federal government has treated the states as second-class citizens. No, they're the higher class. The United States is where we've come together as states. We're going to have representatives or senators from three different states, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas, and we're going to be talking about what states can do to protect and preserve your liberties. Now, does anything in this Constitution suggests the federal government should be paying for transgender opera in Colombia? No. Sex changes in Colombia? No. Electric cars for Vietnam? Of course not. The Constitution doesn't say any of that. In fact, it does say in the 10th Amendment, the powers not delegated to the United States by this Constitution, nor prohibited it by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. So who has the greater number of powers? The people in the states, not the federal government. They should get out of so many of these businesses that they're in. Even if you like the program, it's not legitimate. It's taking money from other people and spending it on things that they're not supposed to be spending on. Obviously, this has been ignored. Hopefully, MAGA, Make America Great Again, and DOGE are ready to address it. It's time to do that. And one of the things that we talk about all the time on Pirate Money Radio is federalism. And I'm going to quote from the Congress. This is congress.gov. It says, another basic concept embodied in the Constitution is federalism, which refers to the division and sharing of power between the national and state governments. By allocating power among state and federal governments, the framers sought to establish a unified national government of limited powers while maintaining a distinct sphere of autonomy in which state governments could exercise a general police power. Although the framers sought to preserve liberty by diffusing power, justices and scholars have noted that federalism has other advantages, including that it allows individual states to experiment with novel government programs as laboratories of democracy and increases the accountability of elected government officials to its citizens. The closer you are to the people, the better the government is. And that's why having elected representatives from your town or your county is better than just voting for a president and leaving it at that. That's why we're going to talk today with three state elected officials, one from Kansas, Senator Mike Murphy, one from Texas, Representative Mitch Little, and one from Oklahoma, Senator David Bullard. All three are working on constitutional currency, among other things, constitutional solutions. We call it transactional gold and silver. We know it is pirate money, but they're working, each one of them, in their respective states and other great constitutional provisions. Now, speaking of money, there are three things you can do with your money. You can give it, you can spend it, or you can invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, a mobile phone company, supports the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room, our sister show, and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. Now, after the break, we're going to be talking with Senator Mike Murphy. He knows and understands governments have a lot to do with money, and he has been married 43 years. He has four adult children, 14 grandchildren. He's a retired captain from United Airlines, domestic and international. He's flown the 777, 767, 757, 747, you name it. If it's a 7, he's flown it, and the 319 and 320. He's got 47 years active general aviation. He owns his own plane. He's an active member of the Kansas Pilot Association, small business owner for over 30 years, farm ranch owner, served on multiple boards, freelance contributor to magazines, 12-year township. Senator Mike Murphy from Kansas is going to be here talking about federalism in Kansas and the Constitution and what we ought to be doing in Kansas. We'll be right back with Mike Murphy right after this break.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, and we're joined by Senator Mike Murphy from Kansas. I've read his bio before the break. Tremendous guy. I've known him since he was Representative Mike Murphy from Kansas. He's been at Liberty Hawk Ranch. How's it going, Senator?
It's pretty good. You've known me. I mean, I was Representative just a month ago still. So, but we've known each other for a few years, and I appreciate the relationship, I'll tell you.
We appreciate you. And this is American Family Radio, and we've got some great stations in Kansas. Beloit, Arkansas City, Great Bend, Independence, Salina, Bronson, Topeka, Wichita, Hayes, Marysville, Ottawa. I think we cover the state pretty well.
I think so, but I do have to correct you on one. It's Arkansas City.
Arkansas. Oh, wow, that's true. And do you call Senator, or not, Governor Sanders' state, do you call that Arkansas also?
Yes, we do.
Okay. All right, so... Senator, you worked in the House and you were leading legislation on our transactional gold, constitutional currency, pirate money in the last session. We didn't get it all the way across the finish line, but you came very close. You pushed hard, and you've got the chocolate. We've got a contest here at Liberty Hawk Ranch. We've got an ice cream machine. We have vanilla for Ken Ivory, and we've got chocolate for Michael Murphy. Tell us, what does it look like in the current session? How's it going?
I've spoken with the Senate President in the days since. I've spoken with the bank lobby. I've spoken with our treasurer. I've spoken with the chair of House Financial. Everybody's looking forward to it. Would like to do it, and so we're just in a situation. So anyway, I think that the President is going to pull those bills back and put them in our Fed and State. Chair here in the Senate, the chair has told me he really likes him. He actually had passed out the legal tender bill last year, so we're gonna come back and hit that pretty hard. We did split things up. We are gonna run the depository bill separate. There were a few objections, and so I think we can kind of work around those by doing them separately.
Oh, I think that's wise. Why do you think the people of Kansas want to see transactional gold and silver like we've been talking about? What's in it for them? Why do they want this?
Well, Kansas is, it's just good middle of the country folks, primarily, ag or, oil and gas, and they're used to hard assets. And watching the way our economy has gone and looking at the future, There's word that somebody in the United States is buying an awful lot of gold and the price could really be taken off. We're really not sure what's going on there. But as we've been looking at the baby boomers retiring and pulling out of the workforce, and the following generations are smaller, so it's going to put a heavier burden on them. I think everybody realizes that while things look really good right at the moment, we're feeling fresh after a good election season in November, both the national and the state level, people also realize that we've got to look to the future.
Well, and when you look at the inflation that we've dealt with, and inflation is solely a monetary phenomenon. Milton Friedman told me that personally. It was a common phrase that he would say, Milton Friedman being the great monetary economist. When you print too much money, the money becomes worth less. And if you print way too much, it becomes worthless. That's just an economic law. If you have too many 747 airplanes, then the value of those airplanes goes down. And I mentioned 747 airplanes because you've flown those, right?
Yes, I have. It's quite an airplane. I love it.
Well, if you've got...
I've got a model sitting here on my desk.
if you make too much of anything, then they're a surplus. If you have too much wheat that's grown in Kansas wheat fields and there's a surplus of it, the price goes down. That's just the logical reality. And if you print too much money, and we have $37.5 trillion or $36.5 trillion, almost $37 trillion of federal debt. You know, by the time this airs, it probably will be $37.5 trillion. Anyway, so that's why you're doing it. You're doing it for the good people of Kansas. And I want to point out, I know you and I have talked about this, but what do the people of Kansas think of the wonderful Wizard of Oz?
Well, of course, we're really proud of that story and all like that. But when I tell people about the connection with the Wizard of Oz and monetary policy, you know, and a gold-backed currency, they like look at you with this kind of blank stare, and then the light comes on, and it's really kind of interesting. And I think it really helps it sell here in Kansas for sure.
Well, that's good. I mean, you've got the silver slippers Dorothy wears walking down the yellow brick road. I mean, it's so clear that it's gold and silver. It's the Wizard of Ounce, O-Z. And then the Emerald City is nothing other than unbacked paper federal money, which is green. Emerald or greenbacks is what they were called. And there was no power behind the curtain. And all she wanted to do was take her friends, the factory workers, the Tin Man, the Scarecrow of the Farmers, the Cowardly Lion, sorry about this, the politicians. And you're not one of those. You stand up for what you believe. But too often politicians don't. They were trying to get Dorothy back to a real America. And real America is defined as Kansas in that story. And I think that's right. The heartland of America is Kansas.
Yeah, and we see that. That's all over the country. You know, when you get in the metropolitan areas, they just have a different worldview. They just understand things, you know, differently. But, you know, this country was built around these values and principles. And so those are what's close to our heart and in our lives every day. So, this is just the way we are.
Oh, and it is. And the way that you are does not believe in spending, in the first segment I talked about, $1.5 million of federal money to advance diversity, equity, and inclusion in Serbia's workplaces. Now, why would we do that? Yeah.
You got me.
$47,000 for a transgender opera in Colombia. I mean, who wants to see it, let alone pay $47,000 for a transgender opera in Colombia or a transgender comic book in Peru? I mean, this is just nuts what the federal government's doing. And what you're doing in Kansas is you're taking the power back to the states. And we believe the Constitution was written because states decided to come together and form a United States federal government. The states created the federal government. It wasn't the federal government created the states. The states created. So how can the federal government be superior when their creator is the states?
Probably a good thing that Trump did not win in 2020, because while I hate the 4 years that we went through, it was an enlightening moment for, I think, a lot of people. And I think we're able to see some things now we would not have seen had Trump won in 2020. So I think ultimately, while I didn't like what we went through, it may work out better.
You know, there's a song, I thank God for unanswered prayers. I prayed and it wasn't answered that they found the fraud and put Trump in office. I'm glad that I didn't, because I think you're right. I think he learned a lot of lessons being out of office. Now he came back ready to hack out some of this evil from the federal government with the Doge and the MAHA and everything else. So I'm very appreciative that he had that 4 years of preparation, despite the cost. You know, the people of Israel paid a big price wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, too. But God says he used that to humble them, to prepare them for the promised land. So I feel like we've been humbled, and now it's time for us to enter that promised land.
Exactly. But it's always, you know, they had to do it. They had to do it at his guidance. They couldn't do it on their own.
No, and that's what we're doing here. I think that the transactional gold and silver, all the bills that you're entering in Kansas, are Constitution-driven and serving the people. The government that's closest to the people is the government that governs best. And you know your neighbors. I mean, you're not paid exorbitant salary to be a part of the Kansas legislature.
No, we're not federal. We are state.
And that means you're close to the people, and you dine with them, and you see them in the shopping mall. And, you know, these guys in Washington, they're permanent residents of Washington. They go back to the state only to raise money and only to campaign. But the rest of the time, they're fixtures in Washington. That's not you. You're a man of the people, always out among the people.
That's right. I was in the farm store here about a week ago, and I was checking out. And when I handed my debit card to the lady, she looked at it. And she says, "I thought I recognized you. I voted for you." You do see that from time to time.
That's a good feel. I was just with a couple of other, one from Oklahoma, one from Texas legislators. We went to barbecue restaurant and recognized another legislator there. If you're in the state legislature, you're a person of the people, man or woman.
Yes.
And the beauty of it is that if you do something that they disagree with, they'll let you know.
Oh, absolutely. They're not bashful.
And you don't have a staff of 50 to try and shield you from emails, comments, and so forth. No, I have.
While we're in session, I have an office assistant who's very good to help me with some of my day-to-day stuff. But she works, 8 to 5, and only during session. So when it's off the clock and when I'm in and out of session, they call my cell phone, they send me an email, and I'm the one that does it.
Well, and I love that about you. And you've got a website. If you want to learn more about Senator Mike Murphy, it's ilikemike4ks.com. Is that right?
That's correct.
ilikemike4ks.com. And this is your opportunity. You can go there and learn about what he stands for, why he's one of our heroes promoting pirate money, transactional gold and silver, how it's going to benefit Kansas and really the United States. If Kansas takes a leadership position, the rest of the country should follow. And we've got about 24 states looking at making gold and silver legal tender. Any last comment, Senator?
No, Kevin. I did tell you, I think one time I've had a fellow in the northwest part of the state. He says, "Hey, I've seen the bill that you've got filed for gold and silver. You need to read this book. It's called Pirate Money, written by Kevin Friedman." And I went, "Yeah, okay. Well, I've got that book. Thank you."
Oh, I love
it. That was a good endorsement for you.
Thank you, Senator Murphy. All right. Well, blessings to you in Kansas. We're going to come back and we're going to meet with Representative Mitch Little from Texas, who's also entering pirate money legislation. We'll be right back after this break.
Lives in everybody's soul. Freedom for the young, the meek, the old. Freedom. Forgiveness breaks all chains. Freedom. No more slavery. No more shame.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Right, and just before the break, we had Senator Mike Murphy as our guest from Kansas. You know, he's an airline pilot, flown all the big jets, really tremendous background and history and everything, a state rep, and then now a state senator. Kansas is very lucky to have him. And North Texas is very lucky to have our next guest in studio, Representative Mitch Little from Texas. He's a conservative, House District 65, constitutional conservative. I love that. And lifelong Republican, believes our elections and border must be secure, property taxes should be lower, and the radical left's agenda has no place in our schools and communities. Successful business attorney. He fought for private property rights. You know, you may have seen him. He became nationally famous because he defended Ken Paxton from impeachment. And you saw those hearings. You're like, oh my gosh, it was a massacre of those seeking to impeach him. He's now in the Texas State House. He's got his committee assignments. He's a Christian, husband, father, business owner, and community leader. He's invested in the future and determined to help shape it. as the state representative from Liberty Hawk Ranch, defending our constitutional freedoms and respecting individual liberty. Welcome. How's it going?
Oh, it's going great. I'm so glad to be with you. I firmly believe I have the best district in all of Texas, and I'm so glad that Liberty Hawk Ranch is inside of it.
Well, we're happy to be inside of it, too. And, you know, this whole constitutional thing, but in our first segment, we talked about federalism. And as a constitutional attorney, you understand that principle. We talked about how the federal government ought not be funding transgender opera in Latin American nations like they've been doing, or transgender comic books around the world, because there's nothing in here that I see that allows the federal government to pay or do any of those things.
No, absolutely not. And I think we've gone through a decade or so of liberals hollowing out government for their own purposes, basically using it from the inside to advance an ideological agenda. And Trump is day by day dismantling it. I'm very thankful for that. And we need to be doing that here in Texas, too.
Well, I just had my wife last week on the program. We were talking about MAHA, Make America Healthy. I called her MAHA Mama. And she's thrilled that RFK potentially is going to do that in the healthcare arena. And now Elon Musk and Doge. Here's the key. Amendment 10, the power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited to it by it to the states or reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Seems to me like few and well-defined should be the powers of the federal government.
No doubt about it. Our state should have the ability to determine its future to the largest extent possible. The federal government will constantly be engaged in mission creep, trying to grow itself, trying to make itself more influential in the lives of day-to-day Texans. And we need to be fighting those encroachments at every opportunity.
Well, it seems to me the history tells us that the states created the federal government, not the other way around. And therefore, the states should be ultimately, they have the most powers. Yeah, the federal government's got important powers, like to provide for the common defense, to make sure that we allow states that do commerce between one another.
About protecting us from invasion.
Protecting from invasion. Absolutely. Those are the few and defined powers of the federal government, and yet they have been usurping with things like transgender opera, taking money from Texans to pay for things we don't see a need to pay for.
It's been happening in all aspects of our government. I think one of the significant moves you've seen here in the recent days is the termination of the Department of Education at a federal level. These are things that Texans, we know best how to take care of and educate our kids, and the federal government doesn't need to be involved in that process at all.
You know, I got in a big argument at a political gathering over whether regulation, they said it's inefficient to have local regulations on housing. That's inefficient. We should have a national regulation. And I thought, have you seen the soil of North Texas, the clay soil that we have, and compared to in the Northeast where you want basements, right? We don't get basements in our house here very often. Why would you and ever put a one-size-fits-all onto this very diverse nation from topography for real estate? And how can you do that on the people that have differing attitudes, needs, and so forth? It just seems nutty to me.
I don't feel that great about local regulations either, Kevin. The discussion should be happening from the property rights of the individual out, not the other way around.
And yet, if I can meet with you, which we're doing right here, I have a chance to have recourse. But to meet with, and I love Congressman Beth Manvine. She's my congresswoman, and I really appreciate what she's doing and so forth. But I don't get to meet with her very often, and she has too many people that she represents. It is better to have government. The government that is most local is the one that's most responsive.
No doubt about it. You know what I've learned after doing this job for about a month, Kevin, is I think there's an intentional effort to overschedule you so you can't be responsive to the people that put you into office. It's just they keep you bouncing from thing to thing and just constantly distracted. And
well, diverted. That's why you get paid so much, right? What is the pay to be a state representative?
It's $600 a month. You don't have to spend it all in one place.
My guess is, and I have no idea, but my guess is your hourly fee as an attorney probably exceeds your monthly pay as a legislature.
The legal pay is better. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, all right. So you've got this bill, Protect Texas Land Act. And the background says, across the nation, foreign-owned businesses are those with allegiance to predominantly communist countries, and most especially the People's Republic of China, are taking advantage of American benefits in the American economy. Their ability to purchase and hold land in the state of Texas represents a demonstrable threat to the security of states' access and protections of key infrastructure. What does that mean?
Yeah, so something that came up in the previous election is, and that was a promise of mine from the campaign, is I said, I'm going to, the first opportunity I have after I'm elected, I'm going to file a bill to divest the Chinese Communist Party of its real estate holdings in this state. So you may or may not be aware, the Chinese Communist Party attempted through a partnership to acquire something like 30,000 acres near in Laredo, near the border. So the Chinese Communist Party is engaged in an active influence operation here in Texas. My friend Representative Briscoe Kane represents southeast portion of Houston, and the Chinese Communist Party are attempting to buy a chemical plant there. There are going to be constant efforts to buy, acquire strategic pieces of real estate in Texas. We need to stop that. Last legislative session, the bill was brought over by Senator Lois Kolkhorst to the House. It passed the Senate. It came over to the House and it died in State Affairs, which was chaired by Chairman Todd Hunter. And we never got to have a vote on it in the House. By God's grace, we will have a vote on it this time. This is, to my understanding, one of the major priorities of the session. There are five or six bills that target this issue. I think mine is the best, and let me explain why. So Arkansas has already passed this bill into law. It's been signed by Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And the vehicle for getting rid of the Chinese Communist Party in your state is identifying the real estate that they've acquired and empowering the attorney general with the ability to sue and divest them of it, almost like an eminent domain process, but not quite. They can basically identify the real estate and they will, through a lawsuit, have the ability to sell it. My bill also creates in the office of the Department of Agriculture in Texas, under the Agriculture Commissioner, a Department of Intelligence so that we can identify land that the Chinese Communist Party or other enemies of the United States are seeking to acquire for strategic purposes. This is something that should have been done 20 or 30 years ago. I think 20 or 30 years from now, we will be looking back and go, how could we ever allow the enemies of the United States to acquire real estate in the state of Texas?
Well, just imagine Nazi Germany acquiring in 1939, 1940, strategic property near military bases or with minerals or plants or whatever. I mean, it would be insane for us to do this. So this is House Bill 1743, the Protect Texas Land Act. And Representative Mitch Little, who's entered this as a campaign promise. You're keeping your promise. I love politicians that keep their word. So excellent job on that. And you can learn more about that. Where would be the best location for people to learn more about this bill? Your website?
Yeah, either on my website through MitchLittleForTexas.com, or you can go through Texas Legislature online and look it up by bill number and read a little bit more about it. I'm expecting that'll get referred to a committee. Probably I may go to State Affairs again. There are five or six bills that are competing for this purpose in the House. Some of them have teeth, some of them don't. We want to make sure that we get a good bill through. One of the problems that you're seeing in the state of Arkansas is the Biden administration had been fighting Arkansas on this bill and trying to enjoin it as federally preempted. I think now that we've got Trump in office, the outlook is a lot more rosy.
Yeah, no, and that's an important thing you got to realize is that sometimes they'll put a bill through that says what you think you want to see happen, and it has no teeth to it. It's designed to kill what really needs to happen. So congratulations on that. I want to turn to Article 1, Section 10 money. I know that you've signed on with our friend, Representative Mark DeRazio. We call it the Pirate Money Bill or the Constitutional Currency Bill. I'm working with Tam Parker, who's the senator, Senator Parker, that covers this area. He's your counterpart on the Senate side.
Yes,
and Senator Brian Hughes, who's another personal hero who's gotten through so many good bills. What are your thoughts on this? Pirate money, transactional gold and silver.
What's the most reliable store of value?
Gold.
Gold and silver.
Yeah.
So if you have a choice between fiat currency, gold and silver, crypto, if I, as the most conservative financial person in my household, I'm always going to say, I want the most reliable store of value that I can have. And you just can't beat it.
Well, in Texas, we have the benefit. We have a bullion depository that your colleague Giovanni Cubriglione helped bring about. And we have an opportunity now to lead. We've got two dozen states. There's a Utah study, and they just passed it unanimously through their House, a version of transactional gold and silver. Florida's got a study coming out. We've got North Dakota, Iowa, South Dakota, Oklahoma, Alaska, Tennessee, Georgia, Missouri, Arkansas, New Hampshire, Kentucky, Missouri, Idaho, Mississippi, West Virginia, Ohio, Indiana, Montana, Arizona, Louisiana, South Carolina. I may have left one out. What do you say about Texas? Should we lead or follow those states?
We've got to absolutely be out in front. One of the things I love about Mark D'Orazio's bill is taking this reliable store of value and turning it into a reliable means of exchange so that whenever I go and buy goods or services, I am actually paying with gold or silver. I think it's something that has... It's an idea whose time has come. I know Mark has been trying to drive the bill through the House. I think now that we've turfed out some of the more liberal Republicans in the Texas House and replaced them with more conservatives, I think we'll have a better chance of moving this bill through the House and getting it signed.
Well, I'm so thankful. This is Pirate Money Radio, so I'm so thankful you're helping us pursue this because I think it really will preserve purchasing power, really will help Texans. This all started as an idea in Texas where we had at this very property, Brian Hughes came in and said, I'll enter legislation. That was the last session. Then we met Mark D'Orazio through George Pond and others, and now here you are helping to carry this movement to win in Texas. I'm so grateful for you, Representative Mitch Little. You are a new hero. Thank you for all that you're doing in the Texas House, and thank you for representing Liberty Hawk Ranch.
Thank you, Kevin. I can't wait.
All right. We will be right back after a break with Senator David Bullard from Oklahoma.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, and finally, we're going to welcome in another great friend. We've had the senator from Kansas, and we've had a representative from Texas, and now my home state, Oklahoma. We have a state senator, David Bullard, from Oklahoma. We met at the NACL. He had me testify in the Oklahoma study that they did over the summer in the Oklahoma Senate, and he's been leading a pirate money revolution. He's an award-winning former AP history teacher, David Bullard, his wife Amber Bullard, an assistant principal at Duran High School. They've served many years on the front lines of education. They've taught in both Oklahoma and Texas. Senator Bullard works tirelessly to achieve real solutions to the education challenges in Oklahoma, from funding to best practices excellence. Senator Bullard is accomplishing the results needed. He's pro-business. He's got a long family history of ranching, woodworking, and his family's factory. He has extensive experience in the construction industry. He's a coalition builder. He's got great committee assignments, and he's a believer. I went with him we had church on a Saturday. I drove to Oklahoma in this obscure place, and I was like, there's nothing here. There can't be anything here. We drove in, and it's unbelievable how beautiful that place is, and we had church there. Welcome, Senator Bullard.
Yeah, my pleasure to be here. Thank you for all you're doing as well. But yeah, it was my pleasure to be able to do what we can to make our state and our country a lot better.
All right. Well, you know history. You know federalism. We were talking about the 10th Amendment, Article 1, Section 10, which is about money. And you've been working. You've helped build in Oklahoma a movement. We call it the Pirate Money Movement, with State Treasurer Todd Russ has been supportive. Mm-hmm. In the House side, Kobe Maynard with a bill that just passed the committee, right?
Yeah, I passed out a committee. Cody did an awesome job on it. That came out 8-0. Gave them a hearing right off the bat. Of course, we're having different struggles on the Senate side, even being able to get a chance to argue on it. But Cody did a great job of getting that out. I think we've got lots and lots of support if we can just get the hearing.
Well, I know Oklahoma is a tremendous state. I grew up there. I was born there. My dad, my Cherokee dad, Loved his state of Oklahoma. He traced back his family when they came on the Trail of Tears and all of that. He's just a super guy. Oklahoma is probably the most conservative state. I mean, West Virginia will try and make the argument, but you've got the reddest state, I think, in America.
We should. You know, you would think Oklahoma, reddest of the red, voted all 77 counties for Donald Trump 3 times in a row. You would think that. But then at the end of the day, the establishment still runs the Senate right now.
And, but the people are the reddest of the red.
Let me tell you something. When you knock doors, you will find out what Oklahoma is really made of. And the people of Oklahoma are stating loud and clear, we're not conservative enough. They want us to move further and further down these conservative roads. So no doubt about it. And by the way, just a side note, we always knew you were intelligent, good guy, because from Oklahoma, you have to be something good if you're from Oklahoma.
You know, my dad, he would tell me forever, we're related to Will Rogers. And I was like, Dad, are you kidding me? Yeah. So I went one time and visited him, and he said, I want you to come with me. We're going over to Claremore. So we went over to Claremore. This is years ago. And we toured the museum and all that. And then he says, come meet a friend of mine. And we go over to the birthplace, and sitting on the porch is Jimmy Rogers, Will's youngest son. And he said, Cousin Kerry. I was like, oh my gosh, we really are.
He wasn't fooling, was he?
He wasn't fooling. No, and my dad, he loves Oklahoma. He passed in 2023 at Thanksgiving, but he spent the 1970s and 1980s as a stockbroker. In the evening, he would go to the Baptist churches primarily, but churches throughout Oklahoma, and he taught the Constitution, working with the Freeman Institute and the National Center for Constitutional Studies, which is the one that publishes this particular version. You know, it's not a different version of the Constitution, but this one, this little pamphlet is put out by, my dad was a founding board member of that group.
So funny story, I had someone who donated those to us. And so every kid that I taught for 15 years got one of those constitutions when we taught government and the Constitution.
Oh, that's great. And my dad loved the Constitution. He's in heaven now. He still loves it. Yeah. It's probably not at top of mind, though. He's worshiping Jesus right now. But he loved it and he taught it. And you are carrying on that legacy. I remember back in the 70s, every state elected official, the Speaker of the House, the governor, they were all Democrats. Every one of them was Democrats. And you've been a part of the revolution that's turned that around.
Yeah, I'm only the second Republican in District 6. Josh Brkeen kind of broke that barrier for us and got in as a Republican. And but, you know, the problem is we keep focusing on whether they're Republican or not. We've got too many Republicans, to be honest with you, because they're not really Republicans. They go along that Democrat line, but they've just learned they can win an election if they put the R beside their name. And so we need to be focused on, do you understand biblical principle? Can you apply it to the Constitution? And are you willing to stand up for what's right and against what's wrong? And that's where we are in our country right now. The Republican Party has the best platform, but it's easy to fool people when you just tell them I'm a Republican. And everywhere I speak, I've been begging people, stop asking them if they're pro-life. Stop asking them if they're Second Amendment. Tell them why. Make them tell you why and what they're going to do things better. If they say they're a fiscal conservative, ask them where they stand on gold and silver. Ask them where they stand. This is the one litmus test that'll tell you where you really are if you are a fiscal conservative in this state. That and taxes, those two things will tell you. So we've got to start asking these people the right questions on how do you understand the difference between a fake Republican and the real deal that's going to go up there and stand for you? Because it's tough. When you stand for what's right, they're going to attack you, throw darts at you. You have to understand the principle or they'll shake you off and get you on to their line of thinking. And so they've got to have a spine. They've got to have the principle walking in or they'll get bumped off of center.
Well, you used the key phrase about money. Gold and silver, you're putting your money where your mouth is or your mouth is where your money is. And you know, a lot of bankers fear this and a lot of others fear this, but it's not changing anything about our financial system other than putting something solid behind what we consider to be money. And that's the big change. And if you think about it, they're using an inferiority argument. And you understand this with education. Public schools will say, you can't have school choice because if you do, it will ruin public schools. Well, why? Why would it ruin public schools? You were in the education. Why would it ruin public schools? It's creating competition. Wouldn't it make them better?
Well, and the question I always ask is, if you're scared of school choice, why? If public schools are as good as I say they are in my area, why would a student ever leave that public school to go to a private school? Just to be honest, in my area right now, Durant schools are phenomenal. They're doing a good job. They're a public school. But we have a private school there that's equally good. But what we found is when we did school choice in Oklahoma, now we didn't do it through vouchers. We did it a different way. We did tax credits back to the parents, and we told the parents, you know, this is for you to take your kids if you want to that. And that's the way that really you ought to do it, on a conservative manner. But, I mean, Durant Schools is doing fine. They're flourishing. We're actually putting more money into public schools while we're also giving parents other options to take their kids to where they fit them. And if you want to find out where the problems really are with school, go into these urban areas where we have the pink-haired teachers that are trying to tell them that there's more than two genders. And you're going to find where the major problems are. And we have to find a way in all of our states to get good kids out of bad schools and end the indoctrination debate once and for all. My preference has always been to do that just through a tax credit, refund back to the parents. That way we don't tie our private schools to government money and get them hooked on that, where we basically rid our schools or our states of private schools. That's why I've been opposed to the voucher side. But give the money back to the parents and let them take their kids where they want to.
And the key principle is competition.
That's right.
And that's why I don't want to see the U.S. dollar go away. I hope the federal government doesn't spend us into oblivion. I think the U.S. dollar is an important currency around the world. I want to see it preserved and protected. But one of the ways to make it stronger is to give it competition. One of the ways it works in Durant is there's competition. If the schools got terrible, people in Oklahoma have the ability to pull their kids out and put them somewhere else.
Well, name for me a monopoly that has worked in history. Everywhere I find in American history where there is a monopoly on anything, it doesn't matter what it is, it never works out for people. It always works out good for governments. It always works out good for the people setting the monopoly. So why would we want to create a sheer monopoly of public schools? That competition measure makes everybody get better and go on. By the way, those teachers that are teaching in our private schools, they're not second-rate citizens, and they're not second-rate Americans. And those kids that go to private schools are not second-rate either. If we're for education, we're for a holistic approach to get things done according to the way that we need to. But you have to provide a way out to get good kids out of bad schools. And that's the main thing on school choice. You have to have the option. If you don't have the option, it's only going to get worse.
And how about monetary choice? Does that same principle apply?
I would say that applies on probably just about everything. I mean, what we're doing with gold and silver is just offering another way, another option to invest, another option to spend. I actually had a good conversation with a really close friend of mine who I have a lot of respect for, who owns several banks. And he admitted to me, this doesn't hurt banks at all in any way. I just don't like it. I don't want to do this. I don't want to have to go down this road. Well, to me, on the banker side of things, especially on the small bank, this is just another way to add to the portfolio. It's another customer service. It's another way to spend money. It's another way to help your retired folks out. Why wouldn't we want to give this our best shot?
Well, you know, banks a few years ago didn't want to have any investment alternatives either. They didn't like money market funds. They didn't want PayPal. They don't like innovation. They don't like change.
Right.
They like the status quo because it's a pretty good business for them to be in as bankers. But we've got to give people opportunities for their money to preserve their purchasing power. The U.S. dollar is a good unit of account. It's a good means of exchange, but it's lousy as a store of value. Gold, traditionally, is a decent unit of account, and it's a great store of value, but it's been a terrible means of exchange. But with technology and your bill, Oklahoma can make it possible for gold and silver to be a good means of exchange.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it opens up the options through, you mentioned Todd Russ, who is a fan of this. Todd Russ helped me rewrite the bill and get the bill in favor of where he is. It gives him lots of options to how he does it. You know, we could share the depository with our somewhat good friends down here in Texas, or who I'm still in competition to beat to this punch. But, you know, it gives us lots of options like that. It gives him lots of options. We could do it through Goldbacks. We can do it through a card system. There's lots of options.
Well, we sure appreciate you, Senator David Bullard. All right. You can get us on your podcast, Apple, Spotify. Listen to us on AFR, AFR.net. Till next week, this is Kevin Freeman with Pirate Money Radio.